Imagine a space where holistic self-care isn't just a buzzword, but a deeply integrated practice. Today's guest's mission is to build a community of interdisciplinary, holistic providers who can practice in the same wellness space. She freely shares her philosophy on failure, how to try on something new, and create a practice that reflects who you are. She was able to create an inspiring business model that brings a space of support that hopefully you can discover ideas with for your practice. Join us as we navigate this post-pandemic landscape, bridging the gap of division and cultivating calm and community connections and holistic healing. Tune into this episode today on the Holistic Counseling Podcast and embark on a journey of self-discovery and wellness integration. This is Holistic Counseling, the podcast for mental health therapists who want to deepen their knowledge of holistic modalities and build their practice with confidence. I'm your host, Chris McDonald, licensed therapist. I am so glad you're here for the journey. Welcome to today's episode of the Holistic Counseling Podcast. This is Chris McDonald once again. While traditional therapy approaches have been invaluable, there's a growing need for more holistic healing. Today's guest brings so many gems of insight on building a holistic group practice or business that works for you. You might want to get your pen and paper ready. She also talks about how to really listen to yourself to build the life you want most personally and professionally that aligns with you. Our special guest is Jacqueline Fortier. She is the clinical director and founder of Carolina Counseling Wellness Associates. She designed two commercial property investments into wellness centers for associates to practice specialty mental health care with a collaborative, independent approach. Welcome to the Holistic Counseling Podcast, Jacqueline.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks. I should say welcome back.
It's great to be back.
I appreciate you coming on so early in the podcast 3 years ago, and we'll have to put a link to that because that was a consultation one where I had people come up with a holistic problem and we solved it together on the air. So that was pretty cool. But I appreciate you being brave and being part of the beginning of the Holistic Counseling Podcast, too.
Well, I've really enjoyed watching it grow and being one of your avid listeners, and I'm happy to be back.
Ooh, thank you. That's amazing. And you're local too. This is so cool. I love it. So can you tell my listeners and me, like, what led you to creating the Community Connections Project?
Yes. So this year at Carolina Counseling, I am doing a research study in the community. And what that means is once or twice a month, I am visiting different places and doing a docuseries and taking some filming and researching and posting it to our social medias and our website to show the community and the triangle and the triad and basically anywhere in the North Carolina of all the amazing places in the area that is good for your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, places that offer complementary services outside of the mental health clinic space that we have. And I have a pretty nice following. So they'll go out and they'll go try the places that I go see. So I call myself a curious researcher and a community connector. And that's what we're doing for 2024. And it really began with us needing, everybody noticed the divides and the division and the mental health struggles that we all had post-pandemic, providers included. And we're just coming back out and we're coming out stronger. We want to connect with people and start making things stronger and better in new ways. So what better thing to do? And also it supports the local businesses. So I love to visit local businesses and then let other people know where they are so we can give them some love and support post-pandemic because so many businesses closed and suffered.
And boy, do we need holistic healing now more than ever, don't we?
Right. Absolutely. And we need it and we deserve it.
Yeah. So how would you, let's rewind for a minute. How would you define holistic?
Yes. When I hear that word, when I hear that word, I think of whole, being whole, treating yourself as a whole. We have all these different parts of us. We have our physical health, we have our mental health, we have our spiritual health. If we identify with that, we have our family's connection health, how we take care of the earth we live in. I think of that as a whole. It's like an umbrella term of like the whole of you. And how do you know when you're whole? And I think of it as like a feeling you get. You get this feeling of contentment, like, ah, there it is. And you don't stay there. I saw a guru one time doing a meditation workshop, and he said, well, you can get enlightened and you can practice finding enlightenment, and you'll find it for a few moments, and then you become human again.
So it's not human to stay there.
No. And I loved that. I remember with fondness that that was a time where you're like, okay, I can find inner contentment. I can see what it feels like. I might not stay there, and that's all right, but I know how to return to it.
It's that impermanence, right?
That's right. And I think of that when I think of the word holistic. It's like, how can I take care of my whole so I have more inner contentment? I live more in that space than I do in the chaotic and the anxious and the depressed.
Yeah. So I think that really, you kind of pull it all in there, don't you, with the holistic. Yeah, that's amazing. So tell me about what kind of modalities that you, I know you said you have a holistic wellness center. So what do you offer?
We have two centers now. Carolina Counseling Wellness Associates is our company name. And we have two centers, and we have what I created, really seeing a niche in the market for a place to practice mental health care and holistic health care under a brick and mortar roof that I purchased and renovated and used my design passion. I am fascinated with renovating and HGTV, and someday maybe I'll be a host. I don't know, but I love I love to rip things
anything
out.
Anything is possible, Jeff.
I love to rip things out and put it back together again. I really have been doing that most of my adult life and find healing in that and fun. It's passionate for me. So Carolina Counseling is a unique endeavor where I got the brick and mortar. I turned it into a wellness center where interdisciplinary practitioners can come and practice there. And they are licensed in the state of North Carolina, associate levels typically. I do have a massage therapist at one of our centers. And we have either massage, I've had a Reiki master practice at our Apex Center for a while, and we have social workers who specialize in their own unique special areas, and also mental health licensed counselors that specialize in their own disciplinary ends. And when I'm hiring and bringing people into this collective, I really try to find a balance of providers that offer different services. So I have one who does mother and mom coaching for new parenting support. She also has an EMDR practice that she integrates in different modalities there. And her name is Holly Moore, and she's one of my strongest providers as far as like the depth of experience that she has. And I have other providers that work with female issues, fertility issues, marriage and family counseling. And we also have a child specialist now who works with adolescents and young children from the age of 7 and up. So we have a holistic variety. So we have at least one provider that could help with certain subject matters that might be a struggle for our community. So we have that there. So.
And I know we talked a little bit with group practices, and I'm just ending mine and going back to solo because I don't want to manage people. I don't want to tell people how to do their notes and get them done. That just makes me insane. Or your treatment plan is still not done. For me, that just is like torture.
Yeah.
And come to that realization that this was not for me, you know, and it's okay if other people, if that's their passion. But I think just that was eye-opening. But you said that you run yours a little different. Can you share how your practice is run?
I worked at a group practice as a provider before I became a group, and I had a time in between where I was a solo practice, and I had time after that where I was renting space out. And during the pandemic, there was such a big increased need in care that I decided, and I really felt a calling to keep growing. And I was nervous, if I'm being honest, and I practiced this try-on method. I gave myself permission to try something on.
Ooh, I like that.
Permission to fail. I don't believe in failure. It's first attempt in learning. And I also practice seek the path of least regret. And post-pandemic, I was feeling this urge to expand and make a place. I had over 200 people on my caseload, which was not sustainable.
200 people?
I was seeing some of them only once a month because I had stabilized them. So I was stabilizing and referring out and stabilizing and referring out. And the phone just kept ringing. And the first thing I did was hire someone to answer my phones. And I hired a coach to help me get over my fear of becoming a group practice. And I had someone tell me, why don't you do it your way? You know, and I listened to your dread, and listening to your dread is like, what do you dread? And you just said it, Chris, what you dread. And I dread the same things, if I'm being honest. So I decided to start interviewing and creating a business model that I didn't dread, that I felt like I'm more of like an inspirational speaker to my providers. I give them the structure. I give them the space. I give them the walls. I give them the, you can do this and you don't have to do it alone. And I also have learned how to fire people, and I've had to let people
go. That's a tough thing, because you do have to accept that and realize it and have those hard conversations.
That's right. And I interview very long, and I interview for 3 weeks and three different rounds of interviews. And we're a specialty practice, so we're not going to be expansive. We're going to be a really tight-knit group of specialists and offering five-star care. That's very important to me, to help end mental health stigma, to have really great providers on staff that are professional and independent. So they are all independent contractors that work under their own MPI numbers and use our infrastructure. And we have great holiday parties. I'll tell you that. We have a good time.
That's great.
Yeah, but we don't do the, you know, emails about what they did wrong. None of that. There's none of that like fear-based leadership in there. I have a strong background in leadership. I was in the military at a young age, and I learned a lot about the chain of command and how independence and integrity is something, those two things that I really wanted to put into my work model. And everybody in my practice, in our practice, I call it R because I feel like we work together as partners. They have that independence. And I let them know in that first interview, if they need a lot of handholding, and that's okay if they did, this is not the place for them.
So you were very clear.
Very clear. And I found that that's been a unique blend of making sure that we have the right people. There's a place for everyone. But this place is for independent people with integrity, high integrity, and they do their own notes without me asking.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, of course. But it sounds like you just figured out what would work best for you and was in alignment with your values.
Try it on and see how it feels, and permission to be honest with yourself. You know, if you
don't. That's it, isn't it? We got to really be honest with what we want.
That's right. And I just wanted to maximize, you know, I knew my why. My why, it was I wanted to help more people. And I saw people that, and most of the people that work with me are associate level licenses to begin with. So they really needed that independent model with help and support for the business side of things, which I've got a knack for. So, you know, they didn't want to have to do the profit and loss statements that I just finished yesterday because it's tax season.
I understand.
They didn't want to have to pay all the bills. And I do. I pay all the overhead and the mortgage statements. I find that fun. That's not the dread for me. It's not.
So, oh my God. And I was just thinking like all the stress with tax season today. I'm like, dread it so much. Wow, you're like a breath of fresh air, Jacqueline. Yeah,
so try it on and see. And I really feel like that goes for every one of us. Try it on, you know, it's just see how it feels and listen to yourself. And your body and your mind and your nervous system will tell you where you belong when you belong there. It really will.
Yeah. I think we just got to get quiet enough to really hear it too.
That's right.
Can we get away from all the noise of everything and everyday life and really tune in? So how do you balance your life if you're helping other people in this practice but take care of yourself as well?
Yeah. I remember when grad school, I was going through a really hard time in my life back then. And my professors at Webster University in Jacksonville, Florida, they became mentors and friends to me. And they said, you're going to have to take care of yourself. This is part of the job.
Oh, they said this is part of the job.
Yeah. They said this is part of the job. So how do you do it? And I went to a great grad school program. I can't say it enough how much they helped me. It was all in person. It was all very integrative. It's when I began yoga. It's been 16 years ago since I graduated with my graduate degree. And I would go to class and they would always ask, like, how'd you take care of yourself this week? And it just began second nature, like brushing your teeth, brushing your hair. I work out. I love the gym and I love going to finding places to experience health and wellness. And health is just that word of like taking care of your health. And I love to watch my energies. If I am bogged down with work, I go to the gym first.
Amen.
First.
Right there with you.
If you wait till after, you're not going to want to. And I go back to that phrase, seek the path of least regret. And I've never regretted walking out after a class or a workout. I've never regret that feeling. And even if you only go for 30 minutes, you know, sometimes just getting there and just moving around a little bit and getting back can give you a different mindset. So that's been my golden ticket to my health and wellness practice that I integrate.
Yeah. And I think you said too, though, just what you've created with your business is like a self-care model for you too, isn't it? And for the people that work for you.
I don't have days off and I don't have days that I feel like I'm working. It's interesting. Like I have days where I rest, days where I put the computer down, I put the website down and things like that. But I'm also always taking care and learning new things and learning new things to ways to take care of myself too, because we change at different times of our lives.
Yeah. So what kind of clients do you see at your practice?
My specialization really is domestic violence and trauma recovery. That is my essence of most of my clinical training. I do see anxiety disorders and relational concerns, like people that are either like trying to make their relationship healthier, their intimate relationship, or out of either leaving an unhealthy relationship or making sure that they don't get in one that is abusive. Because of my background in domestic violence, I previously, before I had Carolina Counseling, was a domestic violence advocate and a supervisor at the Safe House in the outskirts of Baltimore. So I have a little story about that that I have on my website, because it was a project that they gave me. They really they hired me to renovate. And renovation's been my passion that's integrated into my field of mental health counseling. And they had me redo the whole Safe House. So we worked with a big program there and renovated the whole Safe House and worked with a lot of women and children. There was over 300 women and children that we helped in placements of safety while I worked there. So that's my area of specialization that I work with in clinical care.
So how do you market for like more of a wellness model when you have lots of different practitioners and lots of offerings? Because I would think that was
like market your practice. It's funny, my Apex Center specifically, the Apex Center is in a prime location. I have not been to market very much.
That's amazing.
It takes care of itself. Now that we've been there, we've been in our Apex Center for 8 years.
That helps too. Yeah.
But when I did have to market, really, Google Analytics is my friend. I've learned how to code websites with SEOs. So my website is, I think, like on the top Google when you look up for counselors in Apex will pop up there. So just learning some coding and some nerdy stuff that I like to do in my spare time.
So you have a lot of different things that you've learned, I guess, to help with this practice.
Yeah, I really love the business side, you know, the numbers and money. It balances out the feelings that I hold for other people as well. So I have that if we go back to the word holistic, you know, I love working with people with their feelings, their thoughts, their behaviors, and I like working with numbers and ripping things apart and putting them back together again.
I think that's an unusual combination. So I know a lot of therapists listening we love our clients and doing that part and especially this podcast. We all love our holistic counseling practices, but then the business side can just cause a lot of anxiety sometimes.
And one of the things that I've learned, Chris, is like take it in pieces, like break it into little pieces and do things one at a time.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and hire people that can help you do the things that you.
Oh, for sure.
You aren't. I have the best accountant. I was just there this morning visiting her and it feels like an old friend. She's helped me so much and she knows things that I don't. And we just talk in such at ease way. And she's taught me a lot about growing business and things like that. So just having people around you, let people in. Whatever your goal is, it doesn't have to be business or counseling, like whatever your goal is, you can do it. Just consult into our ethics as counselors to consult. So I just learned how to do that in different realms.
Yeah. And I'm just listening to you today. It's like, this is a different way that you run business, and it doesn't have to be, you know, such a stringent, you know, I guess I'm just thinking of group practices I knew about that the way they're run, it's not like yours. So just knowing that there is endless possibilities.
Yeah. And I see a big industry change in how all people are wanting to work. And, you know, a lot of my counselors, they'll have a choice based off of what's available in the office, really, because we have 4 offices at each center. So whatever's available, we kind of work through with that. But a lot of them, my full-time counselors really like to work like 2 days a week at home and 2 days a week in the office. And 4 days a week. I see that as like an industry wanting now. The Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, like just doesn't sit well with a lot of people. And it's been our culture for a long time, but I see that changing. And I really wanted a progressive business model that allows some growth and opportunity for that to be an example of how people can do things our way. What works for you? You know, where's your dread? I remember listening to my dread has been the biggest teacher of my life in relations personally and professionally. And you will tell yourself exactly what you don't want to do.
Yes. I don't want a group practice.
That's okay.
Period.
Absolutely. And I remember feeling that way too. And that's why I made it this way. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Everyone's dread will be like a personal thing for them to do a reflection about, like, what do I
do? But it's okay. It's okay where you are. And even if you wanted to leave the counseling field, that's okay too. So find something that you're passionate about.
Yes. I would love the listeners to know that, you know, your dread is personal. Don't compare yourself with other people. If you do, do it with curiosity, not with criticism.
With curiosity, not criticism. And I always say too, what can you learn from people? You know, if you see someone that's really successful, to maybe get to know them and see what you can learn.
That's right. But your dread will be specific. You know, it's your intuition. It's really connected with all of that. Like, what is it? Where do I belong? I always say, where do I belong? And I'll know. I've done this with houses. I've done this with business. I've done this with relationships with people. Just like, where do I belong? You'll know when you don't. It's a feeling.
You'll know when you don't. Yeah, no, I can connect with that for sure.
That's great. And then you know when you do, because you sparkle and you get a light out of you. And so yeah, just being curious. I love that energy. And that's really back to our 2024 project in Carolina Counseling. I'm writing about it. I have 2 writing projects I'm doing this year. And it's exciting because we get to try things on. I love to go to a place, you know, and if I don't like the place, I'm not putting it on the website. You know, I'm not going to put it. I'm putting the places where I'm like, I really like this place. And then my clients, my listeners, people in the community can say, oh, let me go try and see if I like it. And if they don't.
Okay. So you put these on your website?
Absolutely. That's what we're working on right now. Right now we're collecting all the data.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we're going to have it all on there. We're going to have playlists and
songs. Oh, I can't wait.
And podcasts people can listen to for inspiration. Things, you know, people, places, and things we love is the title.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, that's amazing because as a holistic therapist, I refer out to other holistic providers, but not just therapists. So I refer out for Reiki and, you know, for you name it, shaman in the community. But I think that's so cool, though, to have that and vet those places and really feel good about that.
You can give me a couple ideas of places I should go see.
Oh, I will. Definitely. Yeah, because I've gotten to know some of the holistic community here, and it's just, we got some amazing resources.
We really do. And, you know, this all got stemmed from my clients asking me, do you know a place? Do you know a book? Do you know a thing? And I'm always writing them down on little sticky notes, and I'm tired of that. So I'm going to be like, yes, it's on the website.
See, now you gave me. Now I'm going to do that too. I love
Absolutely.
That.
I'm happy to share. I love sharing ideas. I don't hold
them. Yeah. No, I think that's invaluable because you're right. I'm always sharing stuff, information with clients about holistic modalities and even, you know, YouTube videos, podcasts, you name it. Besides mine, of course, I do share others.
That's right. And books. I read books. I love to read and then have clients that will always ask me like, and I'll know where they are in their stage of life, like what they're going on in their problems. Like, this is the book that was helpful for someone else. So maybe this will be helpful for you. And I have this phrase called take it or leave it. And what that says is like, take what worked and leave what didn't. It's okay if some of the book is not going to land.
Yes.
Get that part. That's okay. And I always say that as a disclaimer. I don't get my feelings hurt. And like the same book that I read, that I took it, I received some things from that, and some of it just didn't resonate right now, and that's okay.
So what's a challenge that you've experienced with building this business that maybe you've overcome and had to work through?
Yes. If you listen to a couple of my stories, I talk about my fear of math. Yes, I know. I think it's like we got into this field because we're like, oh, there's no math, only feelings.
I like feelings.
Wait a second, there's research and statistics? I didn't want to have to do that. And I did. I took a lot of math classes in graduate school that I wasn't prepared for. And I got through it, you know, so I definitely feel like running the business side of things, like having to do profit and loss statements and mortgage statements and financing and doing commercial real estate investing and learning about math. And so I learned in grad school, I learned in my time in the military that I can do hard things with the right mindset. So just giving myself, I'm not bad at math. I'm actually good at math when I have the right mindset. I just need a moment. I need some quiet. I need to make sure my needs are met. I need to make sure that I'm not stressed out or in that moment and I'm doing it with clarity. And I also give myself rewards when I do hard things like math. So my positive psychology comes out, and after math, my work is done and I go celebrate. I go do something fun. So that way I'm not dreading it as much. So math is definitely the overcomer of my whole entire business story. And now I've made it my friend. So
wow, that's amazing. I'm just trying to process that for a moment. Unfortunately, I can't say I'm good at math. I've made it through somehow this far, but I'm challenged.
It's okay. Well, always like how you speak to yourself is so important.
It is.
And I've learned that. I used to say all these things to myself that no longer serve me. And now I say, you know, I learned how to do math. That's what I said.
I learned. Yeah.
I learned.
I have learned a lot in private practice. I really have.
Absolutely. We learn. And you know, software catches up with itself. I have a great record system that runs our practice. And I'm grateful for it. It does a lot of the integrated work. So technology has not always been my friend either. I feel like, you know, we've learned a lot. Every therapist listening or every human being listening, you know, technology is growing. It's going to keep growing. So how to utilize it?
Yeah, to really think about that. What's the best way? And so what advice would you say to a listener who might be wanting to do a business model like yours, but to make it their own, and maybe they have some apprehension about it?
Well, reflect, you know, reflect on your why, W-H-Y, like why, and make sure you're solid with that. One of my best tips is don't do it for the money. You know, people get stuck for that and then they don't have the passion to help them. So I love to make decisions from helping people. Is my why growing, being able to live a full, authentic life? That's my why. You know, money comes out the back end. So it really does. It comes like a little wave on the back end, you know. It can't be the reason, I feel. And that's just for me, for my experience, is that if my why is from my heart, is for making a life that I feel proud of, for helping others and helping myself, then everything else kind of, it settles. It works itself through.
Yeah, it works itself through. You have so many good mantras and mindsets. I can tell you've done a lot of work.
Yeah, we've been making quotes too. We have t-shirts with quotes on them.
Do you really?
Yeah, one of my favorites is seek the path of least regret. And I feel like the path of least regret can be this, oh my gosh, for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
It's that curious energy of like, because you, just like your dread, you're the only one will know what regret feels like and also how to avoid it.
Yeah, that's true. So that's food for thought for listeners too, to think about.
Yeah, it's personal. It's like a reflection inside you. Like no one else can tell you what you might regret. I'm going on a really big trip in 2 weeks to see my 93-year-old grandmother.
Aww.
And I don't love to fly. I'm honest about that, but I would regret not. So I can get over that little bumpy flight down to see her, because I know that feeling of regret if she passed this year and I didn't. And that keeps me going. So I make this that model. I really do for my personal and professional life.
Yeah. Well, you gave us a lot to think about today. I'm going to have to listen again to this episode. I hope listeners took notes too. What's the best way for listeners to find you to learn more about you?
Absolutely. JacquelineFortier.org is our new website that we're working on for our community projects, and CarolinaCounselingWellness.com. And we have a couple Instagram handles as well, but I have turned that over to an assistant, which is wonderful.
Isn't that great? And we'll have that in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Absolutely. And listeners, thanks for tuning in today. Do you always put others' needs before your own? As counselors, we often prioritize the needs of others, but my Self-Care for the Counselor book is your invitation to turn that nurturing energy inward. Discover practical self-care rituals, ways to upgrade your daily transitions, and small gifts you can give yourself designed to replenish your energy and cultivate resilience. It's not just a book, it's a companion for those moments when you need a gentle reminder to prioritize your own well-being. So treat yourself to the gift of self-care. Go to hcpodcast.org/self-care. That's hcpodcast.org/self-care. And once again, this is Chris McDonald sending each one of you much light and love. Until next time, take care. Thanks for listening. The information in this podcast is for general educational purposes only, and it is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guests are giving legal, financial, counseling, or any other kind of professional advice. If you need a professional, please find the right one for you. The Holistic Counseling Podcast is proudly part of the SiteCraft Network.